Here's Andy Udman.
If your guest today, Sally Fallon, had 10 seconds to summarize all of her good advice, what would it be?
Basically, to eat 3 square meals per day, to not be fat phobic or cholesterol phobic or meat phobic or egg phobic, any of those phobias, and to eat the foods that our ancestors ate.
If your guest today, Sally Fallon, had 10 seconds to summarize all of her good advice, what would it be?
Basically, to eat 3 square meals per day, to not be fat phobic or cholesterol phobic or meat phobic or egg phobic, any of those phobias, and to eat the foods that our ancestors ate.
Partially hydrogenated trans fats. These are toxic. They cause everything from heart disease to cancer to low birth weight in babies to neurological problems in growing children. They don't build the brain, so we're getting all kinds of learning disorders. So that would be number one. Number two would be all of the refined carbohydrates, the sugar and the white flour, and the worst of all is the high fructose corn syrup.
I love the line. Pam Killeen just shared it with me a moment ago. Out of the blue, the woman we're about to meet is building an army. And this is war, and the enemy is not just Pam's enemy, and not just my enemy, and not just Sally's enemy, but the enemy of every one of us, especially if we're in government, where our health care budgets are literally destroying our way of life, and that has only just begun. The enemy is cancer. The enemy is diabetes. The enemy is heart disease, and the other calamities that we're facing in the health field. And this is a woman that Pam Killeen calls the rock star?
Absolutely. She's the top celebrity out there in terms of getting the truth out about nutrition. No question about it.
You have emphasized over and over again that we are sicker and we are fatter and we are more depressed than ever, and we still think that if we go to Shoppers Drug Mart and get more drugs and pump more drugs into our arms, that'll solve it. When the answer is what we put in our mouths.
That's right, and we learn from history as well. We can't take new dietary advice because there's no historical precedence with regards to, you know, these low-fat diets or fad diets that we're hearing about every single day, and the Canada's Food Guide, of course. These are all fad diets. We need to look deep into history to find out exactly what makes us healthy.
What makes us healthy, Pam?
Basically following your ancestral diet, following eating the same foods that your ancestors would have eaten, because if you do this, we know that our ancestors were far healthier than we are today. So if we mimic their diets, we have a better chance at health. That's for sure, Andy.
Sally Fallon, we'll get to all your credentials in just a moment. But first of all, welcome to the show, Sally.
Well, thank you.
We normally...
describe myself as a rock star. I'm a pretty conservative middle-aged woman.
we normally don't welcome rock stars on the on this health show, but my goodness, Pam says you're the rock star of the let's fight disease by being smarter about what we put into our mouths movement. Sally, I understand that London, Ontario is not new to you. You've actually been here.
Oh, yes, several times. I've spoken in Ontario, and I've actually spoken in London.
Where? Where in London? Do you remember?
Oh, it was many years ago, so yeah. I don't remember exactly.
I see. Well, I must have been at the farm show that day. We have a big farm show starting in London today. And isn't that interesting? Because what we eat and what these folks produce is really at the heart of good health. I want to start all of this, Sally, if I could, by something that everybody relates to. And even if they go, oh, no, Andy and Pam going to ask us to eat more broccoli, or which means they haven't been listening carefully. But this whole message of what we eat, if that doesn't interest you and your health and not getting cancer, if that doesn't interest you, I'll tell you what's happening to our healthcare budgets in North America, Sally. I mean, I don't know what warnings you're hearing south of the border. Rush Limbaugh keeps saying Obamacare is going to sink the United States, but here in Ontario, our healthcare budgets are out of control. Disease is out of control.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
whole area is threatening to sink us financially as well as
yeah.
physically.
Yeah. And where it's most tragic is with the young children. If you don't have a lot of contact with young children, you may not understand what's going on right now. But we have an absolute epidemic in our youngsters. This is the new generation coming along. Epidemic of asthma, skin problems, failure to thrive, learning disabilities, behavior problems. These kids' brains are not getting wired properly because of bad government advice telling parents to avoid cholesterol and saturated fats in these children's diets. These children need whole raw milk, they need butter, they need organ meats, they need their liver pate, they need cod liver oil, all of the old-fashioned types of fats that people got. And your brain requires these fats, especially when it's being formed.
Now, Sally, we're on about a third or fourth generation of children being raised on a low-fat diet. And so every generation, they seem to be getting weaker.
Well, I would certainly say it's the second generation because the parents were on low-fat diets ever since about the 1950s. You started to hear this message that animal fats are bad. And so we've had one generation with the parents, and now the new generation coming along is, you know, it's double jeopardy for them.
Why are we so married, Sally, to this notion that we should all be vegetarians and that red meat is bad for us?
Well, I think the main reason is that red meat is the one aspect of the food supply that cannot be completely controlled by multinational corporations. I know that the feeding, the second part of the lives of the cows and the butchering, that's all multinational corporations. But in North America, calves start out on the range and they're raised by independent ranchers. And they can't get hold of that. So they would, and also the other reason is that the cows don't do very well on soybeans, whereas chickens and fish and, you know, salmon and all this, and pork, they get a lot more soy, and so the soy industry is behind so much of this, an extremely powerful industry, not only for producing feed for animals, but the number one oil that's used in all processed foods is soybean oil. So the only way that we are going to solve this problem, we're not going to change government policy, we're not going to change laws, but the only way we're going to solve the problem is not to eat their food. And basically, since the soybean oil and all these processed foods cause infertility, after another few generations, we'll have what I call the natural selection of the wise, and only those people who have figured this out and are going back to the healthy traditional fats, they're the only ones that will survive and have healthy children.
Now, Sally, you recently did a debate at Harvard Law School over the issue of raw milk. You were joined by David Gumpert, who is the author of the book Raw Milk Revolution. Now, I actually saw that debate, and I have to say, it seemed clear to me that you and David won the debate. After you all gave your presentations, I'll tell the audience, a woman came up and said, here's some brochures on how you can acquire raw milk here in Massachusetts, and it seemed to me that she was flooded with requests for the brochure.
Right. Well, we just, you know, it was interesting to me. The other side kept saying, we've got to be scientific. And I completely agree with that. We need to base our decisions on science, on good science. And we have the science. We have the science to show that raw milk is a very healthy food, that it can be very helpful for many disease conditions. We have the science to show that raw milk is completely safe. And we have the science to show that pasteurized milk is causing a huge number of health problems. After all, it's the number one allergen. It's the number one allergy food in the world.
Sally, I was going through your videos this morning, and one of the things struck me that there are three evil monsters when it comes to nutrition. I want to take a short break, and we can come back. They're pretty familiar to all of us, the three evil monsters of nutrition with Sally Fallon. We come back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. I won't need to lift weights today when I get home because I'm lifting Sally Fallon's book. It is 700 pages packed with good nutritional information. If you need information about how to get healthy, folks, here it is in this book called Nourishing Traditions. The author, Sally Fallon. And Pam, you've called her Ivy League.
Yeah, she's a very well-educated woman and a mother, and she got very concerned about nutrition. and started doing her own research. And she ended up talking to a lipid scientist by the name of Dr. Mary Enig, who in the 1970s was warning the scientific community about their promotion of the edible oil industry and basically touting the benefits of animal fats. And that was way, way back in the 70s. And today, of course, she's proving herself to have been right, that we should never have bought into the idea that the edible oils were healthy for us, and that we should have this entire time been preserving our ancestral diet by eating a lot of these animal fats.
I want to make this really simple, Sally. Let's, when it comes to good nutrition, we'll get to the good stuff after the break on the bottom of the hour. And we're going to have a chat with our friendly farmer near London, Michael Schmidt, who's made a lot of headlines in his battle to legalize the sale of raw milk. But let's start with the monsters. The evil monsters. I was checking one of your video this morning. What are the three big evil monsters in our diet today?
Well, I would say number one is industrial oils. So that's both the liquid oils and the partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. Number two would be all of the sweeteners, especially the high fructose corn syrup, but all of the refined sweeteners, not the natural sweeteners like maple syrup. Those are fine in moderation, but the refined sweeteners. And I would say the soy foods, the soy protein isolate, the soy formula, soy milk, all of these industrial soy foods. Now, I'm not singling out the traditional soy foods in Asia, which were consumed in very small amounts in the context of the Asian diet, which is supportive of the thyroid gland. But modern soy foods are goitrogenic. That means that they depress thyroid function.
Sure. Sally, let's go through those individually so that people know exactly what you're talking about, the vegetable oils.
Okay, so the vegetable oils, if you saw how vegetable oils were made, you would never touch them. They start coming out of the seed, processed at very high temperatures. They look like brown gunk, and they smell horrendously awful, and they are then processed in a variety of high temperature ways using a lot of chemicals. And what ends up in that bottle is filled with what are called in chemistry free radicals, which are the real bad guys in the diet. They're the ones, I compare them to knives sticking out. They cause uncontrolled reactions in the body. Put the oil through another process to make it hard so they can use it for baked goods and for frying and things like that. And that creates trans fats. And the trans fats inhibit reactions in the body. They inhibit enzymes. They inhibit receptors. And so you've got this combination of liquid oils and hardened oils. And that just results in biochemical chaos on the cellular level in your body. And you can't even predict what will go wrong. Something will certainly go wrong if you're eating these oils, but it's so chaotic it's hard to predict.
Okay, so that's monster number one. We are making some progress, would you agree, on the trans fats?
Yes. The amount of trans fats in the diet has gone down, but we now know that trans fats are bad at any level, and so they're still there.
But Sally, here in Canada, our Canadian government just keeps promoting the consumption of edible oils. I mean, they're so friendly to this industry in this country.
Right. The interesting thing is the industry first came up with the trans fats because they knew that the liquid oils were unsafe. They knew that they were unstable and full of free radicals and that you shouldn't be heating them. But so they came up with the trans fats as a way what they thought was going to be a safe way, a way to make these oils safe. And now it turns out that the trans fats are hugely bad. Excuse me. And so they've gone back to the liquid oils, and people have kind of forgotten that these liquid oils are, first and foremost, they're carcinogenic.
I want to make sure that you get through these other two before the bottom of the hour when we take a break for a news update. Okay, number two. We started with edible oils, vegetable oils. Number two,
refined sweeteners.
Pam is always talking about sugar.
Sugar and high fructose corn syrup. These are empty calories, but it's worse than empty because to process them, your body has to go to the bank account, so to speak, and use up lots of vitamins and minerals. And they also play havoc with your blood sugar levels. So your blood sugar's on a roller coaster. And that plays havoc with your adrenal glands, which are always trying to get things back in order and working very hard. And you end up eventually with what's called adrenal exhaustion, where it becomes virtually impossible to deal with any kind of stress in your life.
That's
okay,
right.
And number three.
Well, the soy foods. Soy is not a health food. It is a toxic bean. We have known this for 70 years. It causes endocrine disruption. It's full of plant-based types of estrogens. And it is a goitrogen. It depresses thyroid function. And furthermore, these modern soy foods are very difficult to digest.
You should know that even as you're speaking, I'm watching the pickup trucks coming down Wellington Road by the hundreds to the big farm show at the Western Fair. And we have two big crops here in southwestern Ontario. One is corn and one is soybeans.
Yes. And, you know, it is such a tragedy what has happened to North America. We have put our animals inside. Here we have the most beautiful pasture in the world, and we can have We have enough land for pastured beef and pastured pigs and pastured chickens to feed the entire world from North America. And yet, instead, we are growing corn and soybeans and put all the animals inside.
Nicholas has a quick question. Yeah. Nicholas, you'll have to be quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick question. You were talking about vegetable oils as being unhealthy. What about, like, olive oil and the cold-pressed sunflower oil and grapeseed oil? Are those acceptable?
Yeah. Olive oil is fine. Olive oil is a stable oil because it's full of monounsaturated oils, and it's also easy to get out of the olive. That you just press it with a stone press. You don't need the high heat press. But any of the others, including the sunflower oil, are very high in omega-6, which goes rancid easily, causes inflammation, and I would just avoid them. Maybe they're in very small amounts, it's okay. But
Nicholas, I appreciate the question. Just so the farmers don't all head to the bar instead of the farm show to have a stiff drink over what you've just said, Sally, what are soybeans good for?
Well, they are. If you ferment them, they make a delicious, flavorful sauce, soy sauce, if you ferment them properly. But, of course, we wouldn't need nearly as much soy for all the soy sauce that we need in the world. It can be used for making ink and certain industrial processes. It's used in cardboard. But we should be growing other types of legumes for our animals.
Okay, the farmers are still stammering and stuttering over what you're just... Tell them that growing corn is okay.
Well, we do need some corn. It's a good high-carb grain to give to chickens, but I'm concerned that the corn we're growing is genetically altered corn that requires the use of a very toxic herbicide called Roundup. And the more we learn about Roundup, the worse we're finding that it is. So we really need to get back to the old-fashioned cultivars.
Well, we want to ask you about GMOs when we come back. Natural News out with its release today. I get a daily letter from Natural News, and today they're addressing the whole question of GMOs, and they say simply that they are poison. There goes another pickup truck just drove off of Wellington Road. I hope the farmers get to the farm show safely listening to this show, because some pretty sobering medicine here for them. We're going to take a short break for a news update when we come back. Back with Sally Fallon, who is really disrupting the lives of a lot of farmers driving into the farm show. We'll be back with more in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. If your guest today, Sally Fallon, had 10 seconds to summarize all of her good advice, what would it be?
Basically, to eat 3 square meals per day, to not be fat phobic or cholesterol phobic or meat phobic or egg phobic, any of those phobias, and to eat the foods that our ancestors ate.
We're talking about nutrition, folks, and how we're going to get our health back, not through the products that we buy at Shoppers Drug Mart, but by eating properly, eating foods that restore, eating foods that help us fight cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and all the other major diseases which are threatening, literally, to take us down, not only physically. How many funerals have you been to recently where someone has died of cancer, but also threatening to take us down financially? We're in conversation with Sally Fallon, who is the author of a 700-page book, Nourishing Traditions. I just flipped it open. The first item I saw was liver and onion, so I quickly flipped the page. Preparation of kidneys. Most kidneys are sold with their layer of fat and the thin filament surrounding the kidneys peeled off. There may be a button or knob of fat on the underside of the kidneys. Retain this if possible. It is a very nourishing fat, highly prized by primitive people. So much good information in your book, Sally Fallon. We just talked about the three monsters of nutrition today. Industrial oils, sweeteners like high fructose, and soy products. So let's now move to the good stuff, if we would. We are in London, Ontario, at about 10:30. People are just starting to think about what they're going to eat for lunch. Give us a few basics on what they should be eating for lunch, Sally.
Well, let's just start where most people are, and they're buying food at the supermarket. And eventually, we like for people to get some of their food directly from a farmer who's doing grass-based. But let's just start where people are. You want to shop the edges, not the aisles where you have all the processed food. You want to buy the real natural food. So that would be eggs, that would be cheese, that would be meat, that would be butter.
Yes.
And one thing I would not say is the milk. The milk is so processed in the supermarket. I would really find a source of raw milk if you can. So you're coming up to lunch. You always want to have some animal protein and some good fats at every meal. The rest is kind of optional. So let's say you are having some cheese with some, you know, best quality bread you can find and plenty of butter on that bread. You want to see teeth marks in your butter.
I love this woman, Pam. Can you come back? I mean, eggs and meat and butter and raw milk. I mean, I love this stuff, Sally, but we've been told you're not supposed to have this stuff.
That's right. It's been relentless propaganda for the last 50 years, and look what's happened to us.
That's right.
We're sicker. Would you agree with Pam that we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever?
We are. We absolutely are more addicted, more fatigued, less energy, and more chronic disease.
I mean, is there a classroom in North America where the teacher can say to the children, is there anyone here who's totally healthy, has no issues whatsoever, where at least half the hands don't go up?
Well, you know, I think we can all think back to our high school days. I didn't know anyone who died in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I knew one girl who died of appendicitis, and I didn't know anyone whose parents died.
Mm-hmm. And did you know anybody who, did you know any kids when you were young who had chronic fatigue, depression, OCD, ADHD?
Or arthritis, or, yeah.
Unheard of, yeah.
Allergies.
Autistic kids, we didn't know of, some kids learned easier than others, but we didn't know of kids who had reading problems.
We have, it seems, every day, Sally, another health epidemic that is threatening to take us down. If it's not cancer, if it's not heart disease, if it's not diabetes, it just goes on and on. It seems we're losing the battle.
And, you know, the doctors, I don't want to be disrespectful of modern medicine because, you know, if I had to have an operation on something, if I had been in an accident, I mean, there's no greater thing for you at that time than the techniques of modern medicine, modern surgery. But the doctors actually have come to a point where they don't know what to do about these diseases. They just throw their hands up in despair.
That's right. So a lot of people are falling through the cracks, and it's these people, unfortunately, who are suffering in silence that have no real solutions for their problems because they're not getting the correct advice.
Unless, you know, they go to our solution, and then we get lots of testimonials about mm-hmm. how these diseases reverse themselves, especially in children.
Now, Sally, there's some fantastic news coming out that they're doing a series on your work on PBS, which we get here in London through Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, good.
It's on Channel 8, and Healing Quest is the name of the show, and they're doing a series on you and your work and your foundation, the Weston A. Price Foundation.
Yes, and not just on me. I mean, I just saw one of the pilot clips this morning, and it was about a pediatrician who uses our raw milk baby formula, doesn't use antibiotics. She even mentioned overuse of vaccinations, and it was very well done. So I think this is going to help get our message out far and wide.
And Harvard as well, Harvard Law School, who just had the raw milk debate this summer, they're having a full conference on ancestral health, on ancestral foods.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more and more mainstream.
Yes, I mean, and it's because the dietary advice that we've been given all these years is just not working. I just read an article by a heart surgeon. He said, we've been telling people to avoid animal fats when that's the exact thing we should have been telling them to eat is the animal fats. And we now know that all these omega-6 oils cause inflammation and are just absolutely bad news.
Sally, we have someone who's just stepped out of the barn who wants to say hello to you, and that is Mr. Raw Milk himself, Michael Schmidt. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Sally. Hi, Pam.
Good morning, Michael.
Michael, why don't you just go ahead and have a quick little chat with Sally?
Hi, Sally.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah, give us an update, Michael. What's happening with you and your camp? I understand you're in another appeal phase of your case.
Well, yeah, and that is a very complicated kind of juristic affair here. It seems as if the province itself tries, I don't think even aggressively, it just tries out of principle to defeat that whole situation so that there is no legalization of raw milk.
Okay, but didn't you have this little chat, this little eyeball-to-eyeball chat with Mr. Dalton McGuinty?
And I think it was clear, and I said that during the campaign, that I don't want to meet with him and demand that he changes the law, that he can't do that, it has to go to Parliament. I think the issue there was to break down the barrier of this wall that politicians don't want to talk directly about issues which people are concerned about. And it also brought up a moral barrier that they don't attack now farms in Ontario when this whole thing is still in the court and in Parliament.
Michael, we wanted to have you on today, if we could. We wanted to have you on today specifically because Sally is on with us, Sally Fallon. And I just want Sally to comment on, I mentioned early in the show that she's building an army. And we're going to war against disease. And if there is a key soldier in that battle, it's people like Michael Schmidt. Sally, your comment.
Well, I'm not sure about all that military language, but there definitely is a struggle going on. And as we say, the solution is to get back to farming the way that Michael is farming. And the centerpiece of that farm is the dairy cow providing raw milk and raw milk products. And this is what we need everywhere. We need millions of these little farms, all over the place, so everyone has access to farm milk and to farm meat products and farm eggs and farm chicken. And this is the solution. It's an easy solution, and the government knows it and is trying to make it very difficult for people to get these foods.
Sally, did you actually say the government knows it? Do you mean that sincerely, that the government knows that what you're saying is the truth and this is the path to good health?
Oh, I think so. I think some people in the government know it. And, you know, just think what a different world we would have if people were eating this way and they were healthy. You would have certain very powerful factors would lose their power. And I'm talking about the pharmaceutical industry and the industrial agricultural industry.
Is that why the Queen of England, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth herself, is big on raw milk, but our elected officials aren't?
Yeah, she took raw milk to her grandchildren when they were at school. She was a raw milk granny. This is exactly what we recommend. And by the way, one of the great things that's happening in Europe is that there are these raw milk vending machines in many countries. For example, in Italy, there are about 1,000 of them, where you can go and you get a cup or a jar and you put your money in and out comes raw milk. And the machines are self-cleaning. And in some countries like Slovenia, Slovakia, Poland, the government even subsidizes these machines for the farmer so the farmer can have an outlet.
So, Michael, we just wanted you on the air to hear that directly from Salen, specifically for all of our listeners and those who think that Michael Schmidt is that wacko dairy farmer who's trying to poison us with his unpasteurized milk. So, Michael, there's your word of encouragement for the day.
Yeah. Thanks, Sally. And I have to say that Sally was probably one of the first, when we fought our first battle here in Ontario in 1994, I think Sally brought it out to the public through an article that she wrote about the incredible journey of our farm in regards to the raw milk battle. And I think since then we kind of traveled this road together, providing, and I always say, providing the children, basically, you know, our young ones with the needed nutritional value of our food. Because if we start with the young ones, that will create then, you know, and change in society at large.
Michael, we have to take a short break and we're going to let you go, but I want to ask you a quick question before we let you go. It's a tough one. The farm show, the big farm show is on today and runs through tomorrow at the Western Fair. If you were to show up and you were to start handing out free samples of raw milk to farmers, would they drink it?
It would depend if they were being seen or not.
you know, they would drink it if they would not have to fear that health officials would clamp down on that. But most farmers do that. It's 88% of the dairy farmers drink their own milk, so I don't think it would be a big issue here.
Okay, so the farmers at the farm show would drink your raw milk, even if it's unpasteurized.
I'm sure.
Terrific. Michael, we have to let you go. We have a limit on time, and we thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Bye-bye, and thanks to everyone. Bye.
Thank you,
Michael.
Short break. We'll be back with our final segment with Sally Fallon. If you have a question, we're still time. 643-1290. Back with Sally in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Just joking during the commercial, Sally, that when we get to heaven, there will be two books. Just two books. One is the Bible, and the second one will be Nourishing Traditions, because that'll be the menu in heaven where we live forever. Reg, you have a quick comment.
Yes, Annie, good morning. There's a commercial on our local Rogers TV that bugs the heck out of me. They're advertising a local burger joint that shows this little girl eating this humongous burger. And on our local station, they promote healthy eating. And here's this little girl chomping away on this humongous burger. It bugs the heck out of me.
Reg, I appreciate the call. Let me get a response from Sally. Go ahead, Sally.
Well, a lot of times people say, look, that hamburger, that's the really dangerous part of that meal. The hamburger is the best part of that meal. It's the bread and then the Coca-Cola that she'll have with it and the fries done in soybean oil. Those are the really bad parts of that meal. Now, ideally, that hamburger would come from grass-fed meat, of course.
That's okay, right. Can you, because we're coming to the end of the show here, and I always stress, I want our listeners to walk away with some quick, easy tips on how they can apply all the knowledge and wisdom that you have, which is going to make them healthier. How about five, Sally? Give me five.
Well, number one, eat butter. Don't use margarines. Don't use spreads. Eat butter. And then cook in either olive oil, butter, or animal fats like lard or beef drippings, the way our ancestors did. I think that would be absolutely number one. Number two is to prepare your own meals. Start with basic ingredients, learn how to cook. And as Pam says, then have three good, healthy meals a day that always contain some animal protein and fat. Find raw milk if you can. That's a wonderful healing food. And then I think maybe the fifth one would be learn to make bone broth, the good old-fashioned chicken broth or beef broth or fish broth. Broth made with bones is an amazing healing food.
And what's the list, the three or four top items on the list of foods that should never cross your lips?
Industrial fats and oils. So that's both the liquid fats and the hardened fats and all the foods that contain them. Refined sweeteners, especially sugar, but even more especially high fructose corn syrup, and then the modern soy foods would be the third monster.
And Sally, I want to ask you, what are your websites as well? There's so much free information on your websites where people can go to get their questions answered.
Okay, so our websites are WestonAPrice.org. It's named after Weston A. Price. That's the name of our nutrition foundation. And then we have a website called realmilk.com, which is about raw milk. You know, Pam, I think I should mention that in September, we're going to be having a regional conference in Buffalo. So that could be very convenient to some of your listeners.
Absolutely. Oh, just a little drive. Yeah. Violet wants to get in with
us. We don't have the details posted yet, but I believe it'll be September 15th and 16th. And if you keep an eye out on our website, WestonAPrice.org. We'll have the information up there shortly.
We're going to squeeze in a couple of callers here. Violet, thanks for being patient. Go ahead.
I'm wondering, when I go grocery shopping, How do I know what is genetically modified and not? It doesn't seem to be advertised.
Pam, why don't you go first, because with a Canadian...
One way to avoid GMOs would be to buy something that is labeled organic. When it's certified organic, then that's one way to avoid GMOs.
Is that a question, Sally, that you get more often?
Well, our people don't tend to eat the foods that contain GMOs. We don't do industrial oils, and we don't do all of these corn products.
Okay, give me one phrase to describe your feelings about GMO, genetically modified.
Oh, they're a disaster. They're an absolute disaster. I believe we're going to have a kind of dust bowl in our animal agriculture coming down the pike because of feeding them GMO.
Wait a minute. All the farmers who are driving to the farm show didn't quite hear that. Can you say that again about GMO?
Well, a dust bowl, a die-off in our confinement agricultural.
In other words, GMOs are poison, like the natural news.
Very poisonous, yes.
Yeah, terrific. Okay, there's another pickup truck going into the ditch. Okay, Gina, go ahead.
Good morning. Sally, you are wonderful. In 1972, I had a chance to go to an area near Florence. It was a city called Lucca. My husband's parents had a farm just outside the city there. And in going, I couldn't believe their lifestyle. The raw milk, as you said, was there. They, of course, grew everything they ate. And in the morning, they would go either kill a chicken or...
Gina, I'm going to warn you, you're going to live to be 110. Okay, Sally, a concluding word, and then we'll give Pam the last
word. Yeah, well, thank you, but that's just the lovely type of stories we like to hear. Farm food, basis of the diet. Now, the goal is to make that kind of food available to people who live in the cities, and that's what we're trying to do.
That's right. Farm is pharmacy.
Sally, been such a pleasure and such an honor, I want to tell you.
Thank you.
Pam has never called someone a rock star before. The rock star of nutrition, Sally Fallon, spelled F-A-L-L-O-N. Sally, go get them and be like Pam. Don't fear any of them.
Okay,
keep up
you.
The great
thank
work,
you
Sally.
Me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
okay.
Sally.
And everybody can watch for the series on her work on Healing Quest. And if you go to healingquest.tv, I would watch to see when it'll be airing here in London on Channel 8.
Terrific. Wow, what an hour. What a lady. And Pam, thank you so much for setting it all up and making it happen.
Thanks.
11 o'clock news just around the corner. And on the other side of the news...